Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Your call has been forwarded to an automatic voice message system. 0123 is not available. At the tone, please record your message. When you have finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
Hello, Will and Laura. It is your friend and fellow comedian, Angela Barnes, here. Now, as you know, I've got an obsession with nuclear bunkers. So obviously, I'm going to send you underground into a nuclear bunker. Now, there's lots of them I could have chosen. But the one I've chosen, for geography reasons as much as anything else, is the amazing Kelvedon Hatch secret bunker in Essex. So that's where I'd like you to go because, I mean, where does Will Duggan belong, if not underground in a bunker? I think you're going to love it, both of you. Enjoy!
What was the gum thing you had?
I don't know. I think just from years of smoking ciggies. But it's gone now, so I don't smoke ciggies anymore.
You are.
I vape 24 hours a day.
You're a constant delight.
I go through so much vape. I've got one of these little like elf bar things and... For about 3 days, and I get a good 10 hours out of them.
Jesus Christ, Will. Hello, and welcome to the National Treasures Podcast, the podcast where me, Laura X...
And me, Vapey Will Duggan.
Vapey Will Duggan, go on days out. This week, Angela Barnes has told us to come to a secret nuclear bunker... We've got here, we've parked up in a sort of car park and immediately seen some high ropes that we really wish we were doing.
Yeah, we've passed nuclear high ropes and nuclear airsoft, and it really reminds me of like everything sort of in Stratford when it's like the Shakespeare Bakery, the Shakespeare Butchery, the Shakespeare Candlestick Makery.
Yeah, so we're at Kelvedon Hatch. We're just walking down like a sort of
Hello.
Quiet little pathway with bluebells and woods. I like that it's not all like, you know, it doesn't feel like the Disneyland version of a secret bunker. It feels like a secret fucking bunker.
No, yeah, it feels like you've got to step over the radiated corpse of your loved ones to get in. Also very funny, of course, road sign that just says turn left for secret nuclear bunker.
Yeah, it's a good road sign.
Come over, Vladimir.
So, I mean, I have no idea what to expect, really. I've never been to anywhere like this. It's a bit out of my wheelhouse of things I'm into. I know Angela loves a bunker.
I'm actually genuinely really excited to be here because I think most times that I talk to Angela, which is quite often, I know I'm friends with Angela, the conversation does steer eventually to her love for and my complete lack of knowledge of nuclear bunkers. It's really nice that next time I see her, I'm going to be able to, like, oh, yeah, I went there. That concrete, wow.
Yeah. So are we thinking, like, it was probably built, what, like, 70s for the... Or, like, 80s Cold War? Like
60s, isn't it? Like
the, is it?
When was the Cuban Missile Crisis? That was JFK. That's 60s,
isn't it? That was, like, 50s, 60s, wasn't it? Yeah. Okay.
But, lovely turn of events. The threat of nuclear annihilation. Also now.
Well, and we know how to get here now. It's very easy to find off the M25. Right, we've now reached a little square. There's, like, an old... Like tank vehicle.
It's sort of like halfway between like a tank and a jeep.
Yeah.
They've got a canteen.
There's like missile stuff. I feel like I'm on the set of MASH.
Oh, I like mash.
I know you do, with a pie. Okay, so you'll probably be able to hear in the background.
me and you doing the podcast.
Yeah, I mean, not even in the background, is it? In the very loud foreground, an alarm going off. We've come and they have got a power outage, but they're still letting us in and we can look around. And that's the sound of an alarm going off. But man, that's a scary thing to come into a nuclear bunker that's beeping at you.
Yeah, huge time. it's dark, it's beeping. I just think we're going to leave to have to deal with the Spetsnaz.
So we're going in, you go down a couple of stairs. The staff are lovely. We've just been talking to a man called James and he's just wonderful. And so we've come down some steps and in front of us is just a long, gloomy corridor.
So I've got the guide here. The house we've just gone into where you come in was actually part of the disguise of it. It was supposed to look like a farmhouse.
Oh.
So if you were coming through, it would just be a farmhouse.
Like, how big do you assume this is going to be?
Well, this tunnel that we're in now is 120 yards long.
So and a yard is like your forearm, isn't
3
it?
3 feet in a yard. and a foot is 12 inches. So a yard's just under a metre.
Mate, I have no idea.
Yeah.
We need a trundle wheel.
We need some fucking metric measurements.
So we're going past a generator room. I love all the signage is like that, like, weirdly perky 50s looking nuclear one. I'm sorry, I'm burbling, but I'm so distracted and disorientated and a little bit creeped out by this. Will is like lighting this tunnel with his torch, and so you're just getting snippets of things. Like on the left, is that a floor plan of where we are?
So just interestingly, sorry, while you were talking that, I was reading this thing. It really is, like, it's not. Do you remember when we did Warwick Castle in series one? Mm. And we were like, oh, it's just all been a bit too cleanliness, and it's an impression of a medieval
castle.
Yeah,
this is the opposite.
Yeah,
isn't
so
it?
The tunnel we're going to go down, this 120 foot yard tunnel, has got a 90 degree bend in it for no other reason than if there was a nuclear explosion, that would stop some of the blast coming down. Like, it's all just so real.
If you have not heard about the beds on the tape, you are going too fast.
So we haven't got the audio.
Is there anything about the beds on the sheet? I want to know about the beds.
No. But there's like, they're sort of fold-out cots.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen like a documentary about mountain climbing, those weird little shells they have? It's cold as well, isn't it?
It is cold. It's creepy, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really interesting as well, because you know, like, if you go to say sort of a ruin, it's quite creepy to think that everything that's happened there. But these are creepy even though nothing happened here. Like, there was never a nuclear...
That's a good point. It was just prepped for it. So there's a notice board on the wall here. Simplified sectional drawing of the R4 bunker at Kelvedon Hatch. Oh, so you know that pylon that we drove past, Will? It was part of it. It's above another part of it.
Yeah, well, I imagine...
So this place is going to be massive, because that was like a mile away.
Well, I imagine that there is the bits that we're allowed to go to, even though it's not like a military thing anymore, it will have been, you know.
So we're still just walking down this really long corridor.
Yeah, it's really cool as well, because like there's like just, you know, there's a notice board here for the Offices, Shops and Railway Premises Act 1963 and First Aid for Emergencies and the Health and Safety Law. Of those three, the only one modern is Health and Safety. The other two are very clearly from like the late 50s.
Oh, when asked, you asked him when it was built, when was it?
1952.
Crikey. Man, it's so soon after the Second World War and they were like already building these... Just in case of another one.
But I suppose that was the next fear, wasn't it?
Yeah. What are these packs on the wall here? Like gas masks? So just on our wall, on the wall to our left, is 6 like canvas bags, satchels.
They're Geiger counters.
Oh, for measuring radiation. They're just sort of hanging creepily along the wall. Sound carries so well down this corridor. There's two men looking at the generator back up, I assume trying to work on the power situation, and it's just creepy hearing the banging and the chatting.
I tell you what gets me, stuff like this. I know this sounds really quite morose, but I wouldn't want to survive a nuclear attack. I don't want to rebuild society. I've got no skills, Laura. Like, if we're going to get hit by a nuclear bomb, I want it to land on my head.
Yeah, like, I'd rather go out quickly. Do you remember at school when they showed us that film, the When the Wind Blows, with the old people? Like,
nah, we never watched it at my school.
Did you not? It was like the snowman guy, and he'd done like this really harrowing animated film about an old couple trying to survive nuclear winter by making a shelter out of their mattress.
I'll tell you who talks about it all the time, comedian Phil Ellis. We're now at the radio room, Laura.
Okay.
So, by law, all county councils had to have a bunker. That's interesting.
Okay.
Every county you've been to has got a bunker. So from this room, all different bunkers are talking to each other. That's pretty cool.
Ooh.
And there were 120 telephone lines going into the large mast that we drove past earlier
okay.
at Kelvin and Hatch. And that mast was built to withstand a nuclear bomb.
Because it does seem a bit weird that you'd go to all this trouble to have a nuclear bunker hidden and then put a fucking enormous mast.
Yeah, but it's the 50s, isn't it?
So the radio room is like, we've come to the end of the corridor and it doglegs round. And then it's behind grating. It looks like the set of Dead of Winter, like Walking Dead kind of thing. There's a map of the world with pins stuck in it on the wall. And like, but especially because the lights aren't on today, it's just so eerie having to look at everything with a torch. They should have the lights off all the time. It's fascinating.
Yeah, so this is the dogleg we talked about, where to withstand the blast. And then you get the blast doors.
Oh my God, yeah, look at this. Enormous metal door with like several different locks on it.
Guess how much each door weighs?
3 or 4 stone?
1.5 tons.
What's a ton in metric imperial?
A ton. A metric ton. but also, Laura, check this out. They've been tested twice in the last 10 years to make sure they can still withstand the wind pressure from a nuclear blast.
How do you make that much wind?
But like loads of
a lot of beans. Ew, it's a fart joke.
So now we're here.
Each of these blast doors weighs about the same as a family car. Ooh, okay. What's behind these shutters here? What's this? In defense of the bunker. In this room, you see a selection of weapons and military equipment of the Cold War era that could have been used in defense of the bunker. So when you really peer behind this wall, I guess normally it would be lit up so you just see it, but there's rifles and a bazooka on the wall, and then there's a mannequin dressed as a soldier.
He's got a massive gun.
Do you know what's really freaking me out down here, Will?
That I've got no clothes on?
Well, that is alarming. But no, it's just, you know when we came down and there was like a whole family went in before us?
No sign of them.
Where have they gone? Because I swear to God, we've just been in a straight corridor. We've not gone that slowly, unless they're like legging it through this, and they have just vanished. And now I'm starting to get quite creeped out that this is like a. Do you remember like Goosebumps books?
R.L. Stein.
Yeah, and you know, like, what if this is us being sold into like some kind of feeding a blob monster?
The girl plenty of food out of me.
Okay, so we've just pulled like some massive double doors, the sort of thing that looked like cuckoo's nest style double doors, you know. And we're now in like a staircase room.
So apparently we're now sort of in the main bunker, and there are 3 levels to it. There are 2 other stairways like sort of opposite, and we are about here. Right, guess what? Here, guess how far under the ground we are.
I don't feel like we've gone that far under the ground.
You're about 80 to 100 feet below the surface of the bunker.
So, did we come in on a hill then, and we've just gone a little bit down the hill and into the mountain?
Yeah,
hill?
Maybe.
We're going into the senior telecommunications officer room.
So, just a bit of thing from the guide here. The walls of where we are 10-foot reinforced concrete, and there's 24,000 gallons of water buried underground in tanks. And there's a Faraday cage. I don't know what that is, but it sounds sci-fi.
Isn't Faraday cage like, it's something to do with electricity, isn't it?
Yeah, like, yeah.
Did we talk about it on a Years and Years once?
You did.
And also, I feel like that's our catchphrase for this podcast now. Like, didn't we vaguely try? We just tried to go through this doorway at the same time, like farcical cartoon characters.
As patrons will know from the quiz we did, I don't really remember much.
No. I feel like I've got so many half facts in my brain now.
Look at these computers, Laura.
Okay, so we've come through a couple of doors now. Again, like real like medical grade doors. And we're now down some steps and we're into the senior telecommunications guy's office. And I just cannot express how creepy this is without the lights on. Like everything's in this greyish blue light. There's a super old computer here. Like with one of the big old blasty keyboards and the computer's like 3 feet deep.
The computer and everything that like technological around here, obviously it's from the past, like I get it, but it all reminds me of like these telephone things here remind me of like the 1920s. This computer reminds me of, you know, in Superman 3 when Richard Pryor steals all the half pennies.
I've not seen it. But.
Well, it's an absolute classic reference, that.
Whoa, what is in here? Is this all Geiger counters?
It's all just stuff for nuclear winter.
Jeez. So we're looking through a little hatch in the wall. There's a big, like a serving hatch in a like 50s house. And then through the hatch wall is just machinery piled on top of each other. All in that like sort of 50s plastic, you know, soft corners on the boxes look to it. What's it called, that type of plastic? It's like a, not formica.
It is formica, isn't it?
A style, you know, like the telephones that were made of it.
The, Bakelite.
That's it, Will, well done. Do you know what? This episode stands a chance of being vaguely listenable because the sound down here is so deadened that we might be vaguely all right in the levels.
Let's just come here every time.
this room's terrifying.
So, so we've gone through a door now and we're into what looks like... Do you remember when we were at school, Will, and computers were, like, becoming a thing so that your school might have 3 computers and they'd be in the ICT suite, like,
and
all...
And you'd play Granny's Garden.
All around the edges of them. That's what this room feels like. There's, like, I guess these ones are for taking Morse code or something. They've got a keyboard and a little monitor and then
this is just a word processor.
A reel of paper on the top.
Of the day.
Yeah, Laura. Maybe.
Do you know what, Laura? I'm genuinely really creeped out here, like, by everything. But I'm having a wonderful time.
It's so out of anything I would choose to do. Like, quite often on this, the days out we do are things that I would do anyway. This is something I would never have thought to do or even assumed I would find particularly interesting.
Oh, fucking Laura, that's a mannequin.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so in the corner of the room, there's like a sectioned off bit of office behind glass walls. And they've got a mannequin sitting in there monitoring a computer. She's the supervisor. The scientist's job was to determine where the bomb had exploded, how big it was, whether it was an air or ground burst, and of course the wind speed and direction, though, so they could determine the spread of radiation and issue various warnings. Okay.
Is this the BBC radio room then?
Is that what we're about to go into?
No, this is the switchboard.
Okay. So going through another door into a switchboard. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm so happy you remember the word Bakelite. That would have driven me nuts.
You're welcome.
So, like, I guess this place was, like, lightly manned, was it? But would there have been people nearby that would have raced down here, or...?
I think it would have been manned. It doesn't seem to be like a fallout shelter for survival, more as like to continue the country.
So now we're in a room that is 90% computer. There's like a little corridor through it, but most of it is computer bits.
It's telephone wires.
It looks like we've been shrunk and put into a 90s PC. Like there's corridors of wires and bits of stuff plugged into a big frame in the, like...
Laura, if you were shrunk, what's the first thing you'd do?
What do you mean? How small am I going?
You could live, like, in a computer.
I probably wouldn't get in a computer.
You're maybe 3 millimetres big. So for you, not much smaller.
I'd ride Mackie.
A 3 millimetre should be massive.
Yeah.
My hamster would be too big at 3 millimetres.
Yeah, that's true. 3 millimetres is very small. I don't know if I'd be capable of doing anything other than just... like, think how textured the floor would be if you were only 3 millimetres.
I'll go for a swim. What's happened there is Laura has just leant on something that isn't attached. Nothing scary happened apart from Laura's thick. And you can't deal now at 5'2", let alone... There's a thing that says, run your hand in a downward... Oh, okay. Basically, you turn your hand and numbers
No,
turn.
Will, you need to explain what we're looking at and so talking about, baby. You can't just say you run your hand down and numbers happen. People have no idea so what we're looking at.
We're looking at a thing that's sort of like full of switches and cables, like a switchboard. It's a switchboard. It's a switchboard. But there's a thing called the doll's eye effect, where if you put your hand at the top and run it down... You know those dolls where you tip them and they open and shut their eyes? That sort of happens. It's the least creepy thing I've seen thus far. Yeah, the thing I put the most effort into. Poor form.
So relieved that we've discovered the family. So now we're going into the BBC radio room. Oh, that's fun. The Prime Minister could have spoken to the nation from here.
There's a sign on the door that says, this is the room where Margaret Thatcher, or whoever's the Prime Minister, could have spoken to the room.
The attack warning would have been broadcast from here. And then there's a door, so, like, I've done a little bit of radio, and this just genuinely does still look like exactly what it's like now, where
Laura,
there's... Yeah?
Would you like another advert for the Will Duggan voiceover? Because they've got here the... the thing that you would say over the radio.
Oh, that's the announcement.
It's quite long. You ready? The polar... Nope, that's not how it starts. Forget it. No work for me.
Yeah, no, don't bother. Let's just go in the BBC room. I'm just going to leave him. Oh, we can't get into the studio room. But I think if I peer through the glass... Will is talking in the background. I'm sorry, I'm just blocking him out.
You therefore have a further 8¼ minutes to comply with the shelter requirements published in the Civil Defence Code.
Section Atomic Attack.
Are you done?
There's more.
Please don't. Just summarise it. There's been an attack. What do I do?
Go to church if you're religious.
Listen to the radio. Do not take well-loved pets, open brackets, including birds, close brackets, into your shelter. They will consume fresh air. Leave the old and bedridden.
Oh, no.
You can do nothing for them. Turn off your radio, turn off your TV. Oh, God, take down your plasma flasks. Give your children the pills marked 1 and 2 and put them into bed. To die, I imagine.
It's a bit religious, this, for me.
Oh, my God. The capsules marked Valley Forge. Oh, my God, that's interesting. So they had these capsules.
Are you sure this is real?
Yeah. They had these capsules marked Valley
Forge. Why are you sure this is real?
I just believe everything I read.
I'm not sure that they'd have said on the radio, it's time to take the pills to die now.
But interestingly, these Valley Forge are called the painless death pills, and Catholics will have been instructed by their priests about what to do, because suicide is a mortal sin.
I don't think this is real, Will. I just don't think the government would be on the radio going, all right, guys... Take your pills.
I think it's American.
Dead time.
Some of us may die. Remember, statistically, it is not likely to be
you.
Well,
it is if you've taken a pill called the Red Death Pill.
Our government buildings, the sun is shining. Death is the least we have to fear. We are all in the hands of God. Whatever happens, happens by his will. Now go, quickly, to your shelters. And then next to that, lovely little cartoon where it says, quickly, your father's on the radio, and he's just on the radio.
Squatting on the radio.
And there we go. Nice room, big fan.
I'm really glad we spent all that time reading that sign. If you sign up to the Patreon, you can listen to the version that doesn't have that in it. That's better, isn't it?
You're a bit nasty.
Right, we're going into uniformed services.
Oh, it says no entry.
But I don't think that that's no entry for nowadays. I think that's no entry back in the day.
Oh, there's a
horrible noise. I didn't like that.
What do you mean there's a horrible noise?
But it was someone in here. It's not right. Like, we're not...
No. Okay, so we've gone into the uniformed services. This room's got a really creaky floor. You can probably hear it. What have we got in here? So there's a big table, which has got black and white photos on it, I think. Photos of the staff dormitory. What is this? It looks like a... Oh, it's like a big...
A boy.
Cut out of a boy, or if we were American, a buoy.
Isn't that mad they call them buoys?
Yeah.
American, stop being thick.
You really like the word thick at the moment, don't you? So on the other end of the table, there's like a big silver sphere on a stick. What is it?
I don't know.
Is it say under here? No.
No.
No, there's no.
It's like a big. If you've seen Ghostbusters 2, the thing they use to get the sample of slime from the river at the beginning is like a big one of those. A river of slime.
If you haven't seen Ghostbusters 2, it's like a big silver ball with like
a
big silver handle coming off it, and it is so heavy. I can't lift it at all with one arm.
If you haven't seen Ghostbusters 2, go and watch it. It's good.
They're listening to this right now.
This will be around.
So is Ghostbusters 2, mate. Stop asking people to stop listening to the content we're putting out.
If you're enjoying the podcast, go and watch a film.
Just because you've got an attention span that includes being halfway through something you're enjoying and then popping off to do something else. There's lots of maps on this side of the wall. So this one like breaks down the boroughs of London.
When you lived in London, which borough did you live in?
Southwark. Where's the Old Kent Road? Yeah, I lived sort of somewhere around here, I think.
Okay. I lived in Waltham Forest. And I lived, actually, I used to live there on Sherlock Street, and then I lived there on Churchill.
Does this have every road on it?
No, it can't do.
No, that's what I was thinking, because I don't think the road I lived on is there.
Lovely stuff.
Royal Borough of Kingston-on-Thames looks like a dick. Will, look at the stick shape.
The Royal Borough of Kingston-on-Thames looks like a really delicious penis.
Just pissing into Surrey. It's got... Like, I guess because the air doesn't move around down here that much, it really does, like, smell like school after the weekend.
Yeah, both my parents were teachers, so I'd often have to go into the school, in the holidays and to do things. I'd run around the corridors and it smells just like that.
Yeah.
So, like, not dirty, but kind of, like, it's clean against its will.
So we're going upstairs now. Oh God, it's creepy. Okay, so you go upstairs and then to our right is a room we can't go in. Oh, but it's like a sort of dormitory bedroom. Commissioner, it's the commissioner's bedroom.
There's
an enormous map. A bed on the far side of the wall and some computers.
I mean, mad that in the 50s you needed two computers.
Yeah, now my phone can do more than both of those computers.
Is
not down here, I would say.
Isn't that true? I don't like these mannequins everywhere. I get that.
I think it's creepy, it's fun. So whose room is this? This is the principal officer's room.
And then here's the Prime Minister's room.
Say that again?
The Prime Minister's room's here.
Ooh, so they had a bedroom all set up for the Prime Minister in case she came.
Or he.
Sorry, yeah, equality. So the Prime Minister's room actually looks a bit messy. I don't know if this is where I'd welcome the Prime Minister to.
Well, if it's messy, it's only because she's messed it up like she did the bloody economy.
Hey, there he is. Topical Duggan. That's what we call him.
Another thing about Thatcher.
Going through another fire door here, all in the sort of mint pea green colour.
And it's just like...
Filing cabinets. Oh, but you are allowed to open the filing. Do not open drawers. If opening, only one at a time.
Right. So
is that a no or a yes? I think it's a no. It's a no to us.
And then we're just like another office. So we've got computers, phones, printers. The equipment is slightly more advanced than the stuff downstairs. But I suppose that's going from the 50s to the 80s.
Oh, is that what we're doing?
Oh, God alive.
What?
That, whatever that is.
Oh, there's another mannequin. Yeah, the mannequins in this dim light is difficult.
Have you ever seen I tell you what it reminds me of, this entire fucking place, is...
you're getting angry, aren't you?
I get scared. I don't like being scared. Have you seen the first episode of the reboot of Doctor Who with Chris Eccleston, when the mannequins come alive and try and eat Billy Piper?
Oh, I think I have, yeah.
Oh, my God. Like, I would have been... How old was that? When did it reboot? Like, 2001, 2002?
I can't remember.
I was 14 or 15. No, I don't mind telling you this. I've never been good at horror. I don't like being scared. It's not a nice emotion. It's one that your body gives you when you're going to die. I like to do laughing or feeling warm or eating a roast beef.
Eating a roast beef.
What I don't like is being as scared and then to watch something to input that feeling in me, I think is the sign of a psychopath. And it's happening against my will. And I have will.
Okay, so we've just had a little administration break so that Will could do a little wee.
And I had to walk around by myself and I fucking hated it.
You did. And I've just done some reading up on what we've been through. Basically, yeah, I don't think we missed out any facts, Will. There's some dormitories and that was the administration level. And then just as Will weed, all the lights came on.
Which I actually like because I was getting quite scared.
It was creepy. And the lighting actually is a good level. It's not like we're now floodlit and there's no atmosphere at all. We can now just see everything.
It's very simply, we no longer need a torch to walk around the abandoned nuclear bunker.
So we're going up again. We're going to the top level. And we'll be looking at the sick bay, I think. So I think I've been a bit stupid because I think a bit of me thought this place was going to be like where they'd evacuate people to.
Yeah, but I don't think there's really... I mean, I'm willing to be wrong, happy. There's not that many places where you get evacuated to. Just the sheer space.
Yeah.
But all you need is like sort of what, say... 60 people here, and then one of these in every county. It's just enough to just continue running the country. People like me and you.
We're dead.
Yeah, and the majority of you listening, dead. And half of you deserve it.
This is the joyous end to the series that we wanted, isn't it? What is happening? William! Fucking hell!
I don't like the mannequins.
Oh my God. So we just opened a door. To the sick bay.
I can't do this.
They've posed that on purpose to be dickheads. There's a like mannequin all bleeding and wrapped up, just lying in a bed opposite the door. Absolutely petrifying. Oh, it smells medical in here. It smells like TCP. Yeah, I'm so glad the lights are back on for
like
here.
It's TCP and my poo-poo.
So this is the sick bay. There was no living accommodation in the bunker in its first life as a road station. And as we had conscription in those days, all the housing and billets for the people who manned the bunker were at North Weald, which is about 6 miles away. Batteries were stored here as a backup to the communications equipment. And then in its RGHQ days, it was the sick bay and morgue. I'd want those separate.
I don't care. I want to go home.
Oh, God, the mannequin is horrible. So the mannequin's in bed bleeding.
Problem is, now I've told you about that bloody Doctor Who thing. It's all I can think about.
What would you do if the head on that mannequin just started moving?
I'd shit myself and die. I'd see it move, and then you, in your panic, wouldn't talk. And you'd hear a thump, and it'd be me hitting the ground, dead, smelling of my own effluent. The eyes are open as well.
Well, that's good. That means they're still alive.
It doesn't.
So there's all sorts of old medical. Right, it's giving me such... Oh, my God, but there's no mannequin in it. Where does that mean the mannequin is? Will is genuinely freaking out. I'll go in first and I'll check what's happening, Will.
No, I'd rather know it.
You're going to know it. Trust me. Oh, my God. Fuck. I don't like that one. I don't know who I hate more now, Jen Brister or Angela Barnes. Like, we have started and finished this series.
What's that beeping on the floor?
It looks like an iPod shuffle. Do you think sometimes they play creepy sounds into
can
here?
Can we just sort of get?
Oh, so we're going into the male dormitory, and there's like surgical. Right, there's another one to your right, sitting down.
There's one in the bed.
And the doctor.
If you're behind that, definitely.
There's a doctor standing up over a surgery bed with a syringe, and that's what made me squeal. I was expecting the ones in bed. I was prepped. The doctor is creepy and looking at me. I mean, this room is horrific, isn't it?
Do you know, there's a film called The Hole in the Ground. It was made in 1962. It was a public information film about nuclear bunkers. It was made in this bunker. The film would have been shown during the period of tension too, and even they fucking know it and have put it in inverted commas, reassure us. I want to go home. I've had enough.
The mannequins are freaking well out, but... Other than that, we're not having a bad time. It's just, it's a bit spooky. There is a coffin.
Wood and cardboard.
Just to show you the options for when your heart does give out at all of the mannequins. These body tags were found in the bunker and would have been used to identify a casualty, especially if they were going to be moved somewhere else. So, Will, unconscious casualty dead body.
Duggan, WR.
Address where found.
Right here, bunker.
Position in building.
Dead. Chief.
Time and date of death?
11th of April, 2022, and it is currently... Oh, it's the 11th of April, yep, and 3:23 p.m, 1523.
Time and date when found, I'll leave him here for a few days. Apparent cause of death or injury, being a wimpy woo. And name and address or other and identification. Janet and John Kettering, can someone text Becca?
Don't go in there. There's those beds that aren't...
Oh. So in here is lots of dormitory beds. Oh, you can hear the sound just deadens in here. So there's like the rows and rows of the beds. A bit, you know, like every American military film you've ever seen where the new recruit lies in the bed crying. God,
sadly, you went for American military film and I went for Scouts.
I never did Scouts. Oh my God, Will!
Don't do that.
That was nothing, actually. I was just freaking Will out. I feel like they've got a good sense of humour here. They're definitely trying to shake us up a bit. All right, you ready, Will? We're going to open a door and go through it. Who or what will be behind this door?
It's probably my own parents, dead.
Oh, okay, no, it's just a corridor. Okay, we're just a corridor.
Yeah, what's on the left in that room there?
Right, a typical... Oh, no, that was just a door closing behind me. Okay, we have got jumpy. These are the washrooms.
They're it's a bathroom.
It's just some toilets, basically.
You've been to a bathroom.
Oh, but what's behind that curtain?
Fuck
Will?
Off, no.
No, honestly. Honestly, what's behind that curtain?
No, no.
I think it's a bucket. Okay, so we're having trouble keeping
it's
Will.
Dormitory, isn't it?
Yeah, so we've got another dormitory through here. We're in the male dormitory now. There's two-tier bunks in here because there are not enough beds in the bunk for all the staff to sleep at once. They used the hot bed system, so you didn't have your own bed. You just got in an available bed,
yeah.
Much like my 20s. Not. I shouldn't do a joke there where I was a cat on a bounder.
You are a cat on a bounder.
I've had sex with like 2.5 people.
Half?
Yeah, I used to stop halfway quite a lot.
Wait, what do you mean quite a lot? Do you want each one to count for like a tenth? Well, thank you. I had quite enough of that. Thank you for your time.
I'm actually done now. See you later. In its first life, the hole in the floor was inside the white line. What hole in the floor? I don't know. Anyway, okay. So, yes, we're in a dormitory. Oh, those grey blankets are so depressing, aren't they? They are like your bum all.
Not itchy. Coffee shop. It's a coffee shop.
Will just wants to get back to normality. We're not allowed in the female dormitory. Private function room, not part of the tour. Well, do you reckon you can get married down here and stuff?
I fucking hope not.
Would you do that, Will? Would you get married here?
No. No, Laura. I'm going to die here.
Okay, we've got another door. We're going to 303 into the common room.
Oh, it's the end.
Okay, and we've made it through without dying. Oh, I love this. They've got a wall of celebrities that have been here. That's fun.
Ryland bin.
John Hannah's dog.
Yeah. Richard Ayoade. Is that Eddie Redmayne?
Where?
There, the picture of Eddie Redmayne.
Oh, yeah, that is Eddie Redmayne. Nicholas Lyndhurst.
Well, there we go. Should we go and have
a
chat in the car?
You don't want to have a coffee here? There's a gift shop. I want to look at the gift shop. You can buy some rocks, badges.
No, thank you.
Would you like a hat?
No.
Are you okay?
Yes.
Would you like some vegetable soup, Will?
I'm all right, thank you, vegetable soup.
Okay. So you pay on the way out, and we just went into the sort of little gift shop and cafe and paid, and it's just an honesty box. You just put...
Are you going to gyp the guy that owns a nuclear bunker?
It's a good point, I suppose.
Oh, and you've got a leaf through another blast door.
Got a leaf like a blast door on a corrugated iron. That's quite cool.
Cool. So there's a corrugated tunnel, and then you literally can just see the light at the end of the tunnel. It's all like covered over with ivy.
Light at the end of the tunnel.
You died, actually. You were so scared by the doctor mannequin that you are now dead, Will.
And as I said, am I dead? I suddenly got phone signal back, and all the messages for the last 2 hours have come through.
Messages from the afterlife. And now we're back outside into a blazingly sunny blue day. How lovely. Will, did you enjoy yourself?
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I absolutely shit myself on the way around. It was terrifying, but it was fun.
Okay. And, I enjoy myself. The mannequin started to freak me out. I'm very glad the lights came on. I think that medical room might have been a bit much without lighting.
Yeah. I think things like that, and I can totally see why Angela really likes them, you know? I was very surprised at what it was. It was a lot more in-depth than I thought it would be. But... I have to say, there were a couple of moments where I thought they were trying to scare me, and they succeeded.
I think they were, and they did. Okay, well, let's go and talk to Angela. Angela's already warned me that we are going to have to put a time limit on the talking to her because of how much she loves bunkers.
8 minutes.
So we're going to go and do that. This is the last episode of this series. We love doing this, and we love that you've been listening. And so just before we go and chat to Angela, a quick plea to join our Patreon. If you think you will miss us in the gap between series 3 and 4, then you can get an episode a week of us, years and years, where we delve into history, Laura and Willie style.
Also, you get a monthly live stream where we sort of mess around with the format, have fun with you on a Zoom call. A lot of fun, though. I think they're my favourite thing we do.
Are they? Yeah, I like them. I like the quiz we did last month.
Yeah, I did it.
So, let's go and find Angela.
That old chestnut, don't we love it?
I had it 2 days in a row this weekend. Sorry, let's do some work.
That's all right.
Yeah. It's nice to catch up with you guys, especially as I'm going to be stuck in my bloody house for however long now.
Yeah, so we're here with Angela. I mean, we'll probably start with that, won't we? Angela's only gone and got blooming COVID. You're all right, though, are you?
I'm all right. I've been poorly for about 2 weeks. I've had this other lurgy that's been doing the rounds, and I kept testing. And then I started to get better from that and went back to gigging. And then this morning I woke up going, oh, I feel rough again. Because I was supposed to have a gig tonight. Literally about 5 minutes before I was due to talk to you guys, I thought, I'll just do that lateral flow test before the gig tonight. And bang, big, thick red line. So not doing the gig tonight now. So I've got all the time in the world. But yeah, that's why I had to sort of message you and go, could we just hold on for 15 minutes? I've got some admin I suddenly needed to. So anyway, we're here now.
We are. Hey, thanks for sending us to the bunker for two reasons. One, I had a nice time looking at the bunker. Two, I had no idea how much fun I would have watching Will be scared.
Was he scared? You massive Will Duggan.
No, I wasn't scared of the bunker itself. I found the bunker fascinating. What I found scared were the mannequins that were definitely... deliberately placed behind doors to elicit fear. I don't like being scared.
I shat myself. Is the Margaret Thatcher one still there?
Oh, God, no.
She's in the bed. There. Yeah, it is. She's in the bed, though.
Yeah. There's what I sort of love about... So as you'll probably know, I'm a bit of a bunker nerd, right? So I love nuclear bunkers. And Kelvedon Hatch, the main reason I say it's that one is because it's the nearest, really, to get to. There are other examples of, and it's one of the bigger ones. It's one of the regional seats of government ones. So it's quite interesting. But also, I always say Kelvedon Hatch, because, so what happened when all these bunkers were decommissioned at the end of the Cold War in the 90s? The MOD basically went, they'd sort of compulsory purchased the land in the 50s from these farmers to build the bunkers. And at the end of the Cold War, they just went to these farming families. Yeah, you can have it back now with the bunker. And the family at Kelvedon Hatch, the guy called Mike, who run, they basically went, well, we'll just open it as a museum. But as you'll see from having been there, like, English heritage, it ain't. It's just a bit of a bonkers collection of stuff from that era in a bunker.
So brilliant. Do you like read about bunkers, or do you just like visiting them to feel in the, you know, be in them?
A bit of both. So my fascination kind of started when I read a book about them called Beneath the City Streets. So I've always had a bit of a Cold War fascination, and right, I knew that these places existed. And then I was living in Crystal Palace and I read this book, and it turned out that right from where I was sitting, about a 10-minute walk away, there was a bunker that was under, it's in the Central Hill Council estate in Crystal Palace. So when they built it, I think in the early 60s maybe, they just whacked a government nuclear bunker under one of the blocks of flats. And I read this book and I was like, that can't be right, that can't be right. So I just went and had a look, right? And sure enough, there's just this basement that's all locked up. So this is about 10 years ago now, maybe a bit longer. And I was like, right, I want to get in there. So I phoned the council and just went, is there any access to that? And they said, which is the case with a lot of these bunkers, that unfortunately you can't go in because it's full of asbestos. Because my first thought was, comedy gig in a nuclear bunker? Yes, please.
Yeah.
So I couldn't get into that one. But then I started reading more, and there's about 1,500 bunkers in the UK, government bunkers, most of them tiny little Royal Observer Corps bunkers. But I have a tendency, like Matt and I, my husband, he's not into bunkers at all. And we went for this lovely weekend away in the, I think it was in the Cairngorms or somewhere in Scotland, in the middle of nowhere. And my husband is all about nature and he loves hiking and being outside and all of that stuff. So we'd gone on this lovely hike. And while we were there, in the middle of nowhere in the Scottish countryside, I just spotted in the distance, like, a ventilation shaft. And I could see what's called the BPI, like the bomb power indicator, out of the ground. I went, there's a bunker over there. And he's like, oh, for Christ's sake, like, we can't even just go for a walk in the middle of nowhere without you just stumbling across a nuclear bunker. But I've got my little handbook that tells me where they all are. Most of them are derelict now. A lot of them are locked up or, you know, full of asbestos or whatever. But yeah, it's become an obsession, I think it's fair.
I always think, I don't know if you remember this, Angela, one of the first proper times we hung out was like 2016 at the Fringe. And I was... In a bit of glum mood because my show wasn't going as I'd wanted it to. And you said to me, Will, you've got no idea how unimportant the Fringe is outside of the Fringe. And you told me you'd wanted to do a little mid-Fringe gig at a bunker in Fife, like 7-8 miles away from the Fringe. And when you'd rung up, the guy was like, what, are you going to get all these comedians to just come up to the middle of nowhere in Fife? And you went, no, it's fine, we're all here at Edinburgh Fringe. He's like, what's that? Never fucking heard of this. Like, it's really highlighting the bubble of the Fringe.
But you know what? It was the best thing because I've always remembered that and just gone, do you know what? An hour away, they don't give a shit about what's happening here.
Yeah.
Because you know what it's like at Edinburgh. You get sucked into that bubble and nothing else matters. And then you realise, oh, just down the road, they don't even know this is happening. Yeah. They don't care.
Have you ever used, like, your obsession with bunkers for other, like, creative things, like sitcom scripts and specs and stuff? People must be begging you to write some sort of Cold War.
Yeah. There's certainly stuff in the pipeline, should we say, but you know what the pipeline's like. It's never ending. And nothing ever gets made, so I wouldn't hold my breath. But
it's 120 yards long, dog legs at the bottom to protect you.
Beautiful. But no, what I mean, one of the difficulties I have with that is, so because I'm a nerd about it, so I'm just gonna let my dog out of the room that I'm in.
I thought it was your dog.
Yeah, she's just little had Max Tina. Just come back, and she can hear that he's gone. Go and find him. Dog.
Will, that is the first time we've done a recording and a dog has been begging to go out and it wasn't mine being a dickhead.
What was I banging on about? Oh yeah, so because I'm a nerd about these things, like a lot of people think bunkers, oh, that's like preppers or whatever. And I say, no, different thing. Right? Because like modern bunkers and preppers, that's a different thing. I'm interested in the Cold War and that stuff. And what I think would make a really interesting sort of sitcom situation is the Royal Observer Corps, which are these volunteers whose job it was, they would meet up, they would train, and they took it all very seriously. And their job would have been, in the event of a nuclear war, in the Cold War period, to plot where the blast was and where the fallout was and to send that information back to the HQ. So you would have seen in the bunker, the Royal Observer Corps section and things like that.
Yeah.
And they're a really fascinating group of people. And I've been trying to collect their stories a bit because the Royal Observer Corps was stood down in 1991 or 92. And of course, they're all getting older and eventually they're going to die and their stories will die with them because they're so used to keeping these secrets that they still sort of do a bit. And I think that's a shame. But the problem with making a sitcom about them is that most people don't know about them or what they did.
Yeah, okay.
And
yeah,
so it would involve a lot of exposition, a lot of, well, who are these people? What are they doing? You know, it's not like doing... Because I say they're sort of a bit like the nuclear war version of the St. John's Ambulance. I mean, in that a lot of it is a social side of it. A lot of it was just meeting up and doing the training and all of that stuff.
Like but a nuclear dad's army.
Yeah, exactly. But because people don't know about them in the same way, there's no sort of shorthand for them in a sitcom world.
Yeah. So
it's a tricky one, but I might, I'll try, but it is a tricky one to get off the ground.
Well, after this podcast comes out and the appetite for bunkers goes through the fucking roof, that'll be. So what's your favourite part? Like, I don't want to poo-poo it because I did have a nice time.
Yeah.
But there's nothing.
A lot of fun.
I don't want to go back.
No, I mean, this is another...
Like, I've seen it once. Cool, I'm done. What would make you go, oh, and I want to go to that one next? Like, what do they have that makes you want to go frequently?
I think when you sort of nerd on about them to the level that I do, and when it ties into the history of the period, you know, because the Cold War period obviously was from the end of the Second World War to the start of the 90s. So it's a big chunk of time. Mm. And during that time, there were different governments and different ideas of how to deal. And the threat changed, you know, from when Russia got the hydrogen bombs, when they got the atom bomb, you know, it was constant change. And so if you're already interested in that history, then the bunker is really linked to that change. And that, I mean, I'm aware I'm coming across as a massive bore here, but
babe, we love it. That is what this podcast is.
It's why you're here, mate.
Yeah.
But I think that, so I'm fascinated with them in context of what was going on. So my particular interest is the whole civil defence thing. What were the plans the government had? Because we know, well, I say we know the government has plans for us now, but you also go, well, we thought they had plans for a pandemic, but that didn't turn out too well, did it? So who knows? But obviously all the stuff that we know now, people didn't know at the time. And I find that really fascinating. And because I'm old enough to remember the tail end of the Cold War, you know, the Berlin Wall came down on my 13th birthday. I remember being scared of the bomb. I remember the Protect and Survive leaflets. I remember when, you know, seeing When the Wind Blows and all of that stuff. I just find it really fascinating. And so the bunkers themselves, I love being in them. I mean, I'm quite... My dad used to call me a claustrophile. I've always liked small spaces. I've always curled into a small space. Mm. You know, I'm someone who likes to be safe and contained. And so I think they appeal to that part of my nature. But that's not to say that I want to live in one. Although I did have my head doing one. But
if you had to live in one, would you prefer to have the mannequins there or not?
Oh, yeah, you've got friends, Will, you know. No, I think it's so funny.
What's that like?
I'll tell you when I find out. What most people that are involved with Royal Observer Corps that I've spoken to or involved with bunkers that I've spoken to, when you say to them, you know, oh, well, if it all kicks off now, you've got the keys to the bunker. You're right. Pretty much every single one of them says, I don't want to survive in there. It's horrible.
Mm.
You know, if it all happens, I run towards ground zero because surviving it, if you're near enough that it's going to be horrific, surviving is the last thing you want to do, really.
We sort of talked about that a little bit when we were going around because I had a realisation where I think in my head, I thought we'd get there. And obviously I knew the official stuff would be there, but I thought there'd be like a big hall where as many people as could shelter would shelter.
Oh no, it wasn't for the likes of us.
No, and that was quite a big like, oh shit moment.
The only countries that have public shelters. So I think Switzerland is the only country that has enough nuclear shelter for its entire population, including any tourists that are there at any given time. Most countries don't have any provision for civilians. So the idea of that bunker at Kelvin Hatch isn't for civilians at all. In fact, if we tried to get in, if you knew it was there and tried to get in, there would be somebody with a gun mounted to shoot civilians on it, you know, if they tried to enter. Because the idea of there's 12 of them, these regional seats of government, the idea was that the minute that we go into what they call transition to war phase, so, you know, when a nuclear war is imminent, and this is what the situation was in the Cold War, it's not what it is now, we don't know what it is now, but the central government would be devolved into 12 regions, of which Kelvin Hatch was one of the regional bunkers, but there were 12 of them across the country, and an unelected person was allocated as the commissioner, and that person would be in charge of that region and then rebuilding government and state from within the bunker. So the idea of the bunker is not to, you know, harbour survivors and make sure people survive and are well. It is to restart government, restart control, restart society.
My God. From,
you know, because, when you're sifting through the rubble, you know, trying to find food to survive, it's important that you realise that we've still got a Chancellor of the Exchequer. You know, that's...
Yeah. And he's allowed in two or possibly three bunkers, which passport he goes on. Bit of satire there, throw that in. While you were saying that, I just remembered like a flashback from my memory that my grandfather, I think it was, told me if there's a nuclear bomb, you have to immediately run the bath with cold water and then get a tea towel wet and wrap it around your head.
Right.
But as I said to Laurie at the bunker, if there's going to be a nuclear bomb, in an ideal world, it will land on my head. I do not want to survive.
Yeah. I mean, I've got an original copy. It's right in front of me, in fact. An original copy of the Protect and Survive leaflet. And there's lots of theories about what that was about. Because nobody believed that, you know, taking off a door from its hinges in your living room and putting it against the wall and lining it with sandbags and getting in it with your entire family was going to save you from a nuclear blast, right?
Mm.
And there's some theories that actually what you were doing in that situation, and this is a bit of a conspiracy theory, but is that you were just building your own funeral pyre. Because if one of the biggest problems in a post-nuclear society is dealing with the carnage, right, and dealing with the bodies, frankly, of which there would be millions. Now, if you've all built yourself a little sofa fort in your living room that's gone up with the blast, then you're dealt with.
Right. Oh,
you know,
God.
So it's like your individual little funeral pyre that you were building rather than a... That's just one theory. But, you know, who knows? I mean, basically, it's very... We know more now than we did then as well, obviously, about how fallout works. And also, the bombs today are so much more... what's the word? So much stronger than the ones they had, you know, during the Cold War, that it's all a bit futile, really.
That's
what a cheery end to the fucking series. Barnsley's turned up with a coronavirus to tell us about how we're all going to die.
Sorry, guys. I mean, the thing is, right, as much as, you know, doomsday clocks are closest ever been to midnight and all of that stuff, the bottom line is that nuclear war remains unlikely because of mutual assured destruction and all of that thing. Now, of course, you throw someone like Putin into the mix, there's a little bit more uncertainty, and nobody can say it'll never happen. And we've certainly come close in the past, and we've come closer than we've ever known, really. You know, and there's been accidents in the past. There was the Abel Archer incident in 1983, Cuban Missile Crisis, people sort of know about that one. In 95, there was almost Russian Boris Yeltsin, that was post-Cold War, almost launched an attack in retaliation because what was actually a weather mapping plane sort of got picked up. It was actually it was going to map the Northern Lights or something. Their system picked it up as a missile incoming. So, you know, we're much more likely to go because of someone's stupid error than we are, I think, that somebody, because it's not just a big red button.
Yay. Right, we're going to have to stop this interview now because it's raining and my washing's outside.
Oh, quick, get your washing.
That's the kind of end to the series chat that I like there. Just to stop it now. I've got stuff to do. Goodbye. Thanks for coming, Angela.
Very quickly.
Thank you for having me.
Angela, this episode's going out tomorrow, so anything you want to plug after the next 10 days?
Yeah, obviously I'm not going to be doing much for 10 days, as it turns out, but do listen to my podcast, We Are History, which I do with the lovely John O'Farrell. It's a history podcast, but it's silly and fun, and you'll learn things while having a giggle, hopefully. And I'll be doing the Edinburgh Festival, so if you are going up there, come and see my show, please.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Take care. Bye.
Bye. And there we have it. The lovely Angela Barnes talking about the fantastic, if not terrifying, Kelvedon Hatch in Essex. And that's the end of the series, Laura.
It is. We did it, Will. That's two complete series we've done now.
And one stopped by
COVID.
COVID.
A little COVID ruiner. Well, thank you so much for listening. We're so grateful that people are liking this, and we feel like we're really starting to find our groove with the podcast now. We've already got series four planned, starting to happen, so that will be beginning in July. If you think you'll miss us in the interim, don't forget that for £5 a month, you can still get a weekly podcast from us, even in the between series times. We do a patrons-only podcast that goes out every week on a Thursday, and you can join us for that with our little community of other comedy gigglers. The Delicionists, that's what they're called.
Yeah, and as well as that weekly podcast, you get a monthly live stream where we all get together and tit about for an hour in the evening. There's one, in fact... If you listen early in the day and sign up, you'll be able to join that. And I'll give you a little sneak. I'm going to tell Laura all about Easter.
Yes, it's going to be very exciting. So there we go. Thank you very much for listening. Let us know if you've listened, but you know you can't afford the Patreon or whatever. That's fine, of course. But, you know, maybe drop us a review or tweet us and tell us that you're enjoying it, or drop us a message. And it's just nice to hear from people who are liking it. It's nicer than the stats of who's downloaded it, quite frankly. So do that. Anyway, we love you. Goodbye.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.